Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' son, a cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are at Laodicea, and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the time that we've had already this morning to focus our attention upon who you are and what you have done. Lord, help us to continue to make much of you this morning in the preaching of the word. May you work in our hearts and minds. May you have your way with us. May we be the men and women of God that you want us to be by your grace and your empowerment. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was studying this week, I was impressed by all of the people that Paul mentions here in the closing of this letter. And as I was thinking about this and thinking about all the things that Paul says about these individuals, my heart and mind kept coming back to say, what if I were to write a letter? And something like this. I'm not trying to equate myself with the Apostle Paul, but I'm saying, what if I wrote a letter to a group of people who I knew, and that a number of you also knew those individuals? You know, and as I was thinking about this, what would I write about the people of this church? I thought, you know, I could think of so many things, just like Paul did here, to write about you because of your faithfulness, because of your support, because of the ministries that so many of you are involved in here, and your service to the church. And I thought, you know, what a blessing that would be to the people who would receive it, to see that there is such a body of Christ that has so many people who are involved in faithful ministry, faithful service in the body of Christ. I also likened this, and I titled this whole series that's going to be ongoing for a few weeks, is the lesser known heroes of the faith. You know, as I think of the heroes of the faith, my mind goes right to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. It talks about, you know, the big heavy hitters of the Old Testament. And you have, you know, Abraham and Noah and Moses and you know, we could go on, and the writer of Hebrews says that you could go on forever just thinking of those people in the Old Testament who were people of faith. But I thought, you know, so were Tychicus and Onesimus and the ones in this verse. And you know what? So are a lot of you. You know, we wouldn't dare put our own names into the hat here, but let me do it for you, because here what sets them apart is the fact that, yes, they were in the Lord, they knew the Lord, but also the service that they rendered in the ministry as co-laborers with the Apostle Paul. And that's what I really want to focus on. Is as we look at these individuals, we're just going to look at Tychicus and Onesimus this morning. We're going to look at their life, a little bit about their life, look at their character, and then look at the mission that they were sent on. And then we're going to kind of draw together and see what kind of application that we can draw from each of these. Let's look at Tychicus in verse 7. His name means fortuitous or fortunate. He's mentioned in Scripture five times. And maybe for some of you, this is the first time that you can ever remember looking at his name or hearing his name. But we are introduced to him first in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Let's just look at these passages of Scripture that introduce us to Tychicus. In Acts chapter 20, verse 4. Actually, let's go all the way up to verse 1 and read through verse 4. It says, "After the uproar had ceased, Paul sent for the disciples, and when he had exhorted them and taken his leave of them, he left to go to Macedonia. When he had gone through those districts and had given them much exhortation, he came to Greece. And there he spent 3 months, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea, the son of Pyrrhus, and Aristarchus, and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. But these had gone on ahead and were waiting for us at Troas." So here we see the introduction of Tychicus is part of the end of Paul's third missionary journey. And shortly before he is arrested and imprisoned, and the number of things that go on from this point on through the end of Acts, Tychicus seems to have been a constant companion of the Apostle Paul in supporting him through his imprisonment and the trials that the Apostle Paul experienced. We see his name brought up in almost a word-for-word passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and 22. After Paul asks for prayer, much like he has in this passage of Scripture that we're looking at, in verse 21 he says, "But that you may also know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts." And then we look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, "When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there." It's interesting here that in Titus, Tychicus that he sent, Titus is a much more well-known name and has a book entitled to him and addressed to him and what Paul desired for him to do. Here he's sending Tychicus possibly to replace him or to at least go there for a while so that Titus can come to the Apostle Paul. And then in 2 Timothy, probably Paul's last letter, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he mentions Tychicus as well, where he says, "But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." And that's all he says in that letter. But in all of these verses, we get a glimpse that Tychicus was with the Apostle Paul through thick and thin. He stuck with Paul. And through his ministry, his remaining ministry of the rest of his life, and much of that in imprisonment, through the book of Acts as a shipwreck and those type of things, Tychicus stuck with him. And for that reason, Paul is sending Tychicus for a specific purpose to Colossae and probably some other churches. But before he does, he commends him and tells us a little bit about his character, that he is a beloved brother, that he is dearly loved, that as a brother in the Lord, not a physical brother, not a biological brother, but sometimes even a bond that is much closer and much stronger than a physical relationship is the relationship that people have with one another in the Lord. And the love that they express towards them when they see them. And when they are involved in ministry together with them for such a long time, and when there has been that relationship that has been built, oftentimes the bond that you can have and that I can have with a brother or sister in Christ oftentimes is stronger than the bond that we might even have with our own biological brothers and sisters. And Paul is saying here, Tychicus is one of them. He is my beloved brother, my dearly loved brother. I esteem him and I value him. He's also called a faithful servant. Faithful servant. His fidelity, his loyalty, his steadfastness to be with the Apostle Paul throughout ministry, throughout all that he experienced, bore his character, demonstrated his character. He's saying he is a faithful, loyal, steadfast servant. This word for servant here is actually the word that we get for minister or even the word for deacon in the New Testament. Diakonos. But he's faithful as that minister or deacon. And I don't think that he was officially designated as a deacon here in this thing. I think he just meant as a fellow servant or a minister in the gospel. He was faithful in his service to the ministry of the gospel. Even though he wasn't the primary focus in the New Testament epistles. You know, we see the Apostle Paul writing the great majority here. And yet Tychicus was no less important in the role that he played in the support and the encouragement and the ministry both to the Apostle Paul and with him in what he was doing. And so he is a faithful servant. And he's also called a fellow bond servant. And this word for servant actually is a word that we might translate slave. And it has the idea of that of one who gives up his rights under the authority and submission to another to serve him. And in all of these, the description is that he's a beloved brother, a faithful servant, and a fellow bond servant in the Lord. And this is the character that we see the Apostle Paul commending in Tychicus. His ministry at this point, or his mission for the Apostle Paul, was really quite simple. He was to inform the believers at Colossae of what Paul's circumstances were, and he was to encourage them. But he's also, in this sense, a delivery, had a role in delivering the letter to the Colossians. He probably also delivered the letter to the Ephesians. He probably also delivered a letter to Laodicea, that has been lost, as we read in verse 16. It says, "When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea." So it would have been a letter that would have been passed around. And here he most likely delivered a letter to Laodicea, as well as was part of delivering a letter to Philemon. We'll look at that as we look at Onesimus. But his mission was to inform, to give information, to let, say, you know, tell these people. I suppose if Paul would have written everything down, we would have had a much larger letter if he would have written everything that he wanted to tell them. But he could entrust that Tychicus would take this information. He knew Paul's circumstances. He knew what he was experiencing. And he could take that to them and he could inform them in a very personal nature of what Paul was going through, what his circumstances were. But he was also to encourage. To encourage the church as part of his ministry. And I think part of that might have been much like it was in Philippi when the Apostle Paul talks about his imprisonment there. How could Paul's imprisonment be an encouragement to the church? But in Philippi he writes, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." they saw Paul's example. And they were encouraged, and they had courage to be involved in the ministry. And that even says something about Tychicus, is that the Apostle Paul was in prison, and oftentimes that if there was someone who was in prison and you went to see them, you were automatically associated with that individual and probably looked at with some suspicion as you came to visit whoever it was in prison. But Tychicus remained by Paul's side and was faithful to do that. And he was put in a position by the Apostle Paul, both here in Ephesians, mentioned specifically, to inform about Paul's circumstances and to encourage the hearts of the believers in both Ephesus and Colossae and probably Laodicea. That was his job description. That was what we know him for here. And one of the passages, one of the commentaries or one of the articles that I read this week was they called him a mailman for Christ. And that's what he was in this particular. He was the delivery boy, the delivery man, the mailman. But it was no little thing that he was carrying. He was carrying the letter from the Apostle Paul that we now have as the book of Colossae. So he was faithful in his service. He was faithful in his ministry. Let's look at Onesimus then in verse 8. Onesimus means profitable or useful. His life is, we don't really know much about him. This is the only place that he's mentioned besides the book of Philemon. And if you'll turn to the book of Philemon, it's just a little book right before the book of Hebrews. In verses 10 through 21, we get a little bit of a glimpse of Onesimus and what's going on here. We find out that Onesimus was a slave to Philemon, and he had done something, probably stolen something or whatever, and left Philemon and gone to Rome where Paul was. And that's where Paul met him, was in Rome. And that's probably where Onesimus came to know the Lord, was through Paul's prison ministry in Rome. But let's pick it up in verse 10, where he says, "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me." And again, Paul uses a play on words there because Philemon means profitable or useful. Before, he didn't live up to his name. He was useless. He was a useless slave. He was probably not, didn't carry his weight. Here he stole from Philemon and left. But now Paul uses a play on his word and says, on his name and says, "who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wished to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention that you owe me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than I say." And here we see that Philemon was most likely a member or part of the church at Colossae. And one of the things that I find interesting here is that the passage of Scripture we looked at a number of weeks ago, in the words that Paul is writing to them, he writes to them about this relationship between a slave and a master, and what the slave's responsibility is to his master and what the master's responsibility is to the slave. And here is Onesimus coming with Tychicus, bearing this letter to Philemon, his master. And so they would look at that and the words that would be there. But the Apostle Paul is obviously very touched in his relationship with Onesimus and has been blessed by the relationship that they have. But he's sending him back. both to inform. He is also part of the informing that is to take place. And we see that in verse 9. It says, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. He was part of the group that was going back to tell them about what was Paul's what was going on for Paul. But he was also, I think, there, and I put down under his mission, he was also there to reconcile and make the record right with Philemon. Paul sending him back there to do that. We see his character is he is also faithful and he's also beloved. Same things that he says about Tychicus we see of Onesimus. I think it's interesting here is that Paul doesn't mention that he's a fellow slave. And we don't have that commendation to Onesimus here in that way. But I think the emphasis is specifically because he was a slave. Paul emphasizes the fact that he is a brother, a faithful brother in the Lord, a beloved brother, faithful. And so we see these two men. And most of the times I think we just read over that and we're not really probably even sure most of the time how we're pronouncing some of these names of freedom right, and we just kind of gloss over it and we don't really put much thought behind it. But here are two men that are recorded forever in Scripture. And we remember them because of their faithful service, because of their faithful ministry in the life of the Apostle Paul. I was reminded of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is really begins to come to the application aspect of this. And as Paul writes to the Corinthians and talks about the spiritual gifts, let's pick it up in verse 4. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And then follow it down to verse 12 and following. It says, for even as the body is one and yet as many members and has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. And then, as we go down to verses 28 and 29, Paul says, in verse 27, now you are in Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets and teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? And he goes on to bring out the point that God has a variety of gifts that he's given to us. Tychicus didn't complain because he wasn't an apostle. He didn't complain because he was given the task that some might seem menial, just to take this letter and go and deliver it to someone. No, he was faithful in the service and the ministry that God had given to him. And what about us? What about us? God has given us all gifts. If we are in Christ, God has gifted us. Variety of gifts, a variety of ministries, and a variety of effects, all by His sovereign grace. And He expects us to be faithful in using those gifts and using the calling that He has given to us to serve Him. So we see both the example of Tychicus in his giftedness and in his calling. We see that he was faithful. And I'm reminded of that verse in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, where the master comes back and finds that two of his servants have been faithful in their use of the gifts or the talents that he's given to them. And we read, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." That's what should be important to us. And the calling and the gifts that God has given to us is faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know, I think so oftentimes it's so easy to get caught up in numbers and get caught up in to say, you know, how effective am I? And we base that upon how big is the church? How big is this? How big is that? How many people are coming? And whereas I would love to see the church grow. But you know what? God is calling me. God is calling us to faithfulness. To faithful service with the gifts and talents that He's given to us. And that's what God will hold us accountable for. God won't hold us accountable for the numbers of people that come. That's His doing. But am I faithful? Am I faithful if only one person comes? Will I be faithful? If no one comes, will I be faithful in the ministry and the calling that God has given to me? That's what we should ask ourselves. Am I faithful? And then I think another thing that I see here are these lives of these men and these individuals that are mentioned, much like the conclusion of Hebrews chapter 11 when the writer of Hebrews concludes with these great men of faith, these great people of faith. He comes to chapter 12 and he says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us." And I think here as well with Tychicus and Onesimus and the others that we see in this passage of Scripture in the end of Colossians, we see a great cloud of witnesses whose lives are meant to be for us an example, an encouragement, that we might learn from their example and that we might be encouraged to be faithful in our service to the Lord. You know, again, as I think about that, I see that. I see that in the people of this church. A great number of you who have stuck with us through thick and thin, who have been here for a long time, who are involved in so many aspects of ministry. And you know what? My heart is just so encouraged as I'm reminded of that, and as I allow myself to think about the individuals of this church who do so much, who are so faithful in your giving and your service in your ministry here at this church. You are much like we see here these examples, as Tychicus and Onesimus and others. And who knows that you won't be the heroes of the faith as the young people in our church grow up and can remember and say, you know what? I was in his Sunday school class. I was in, you know, their Bible study. I, you know, got to know them. I got to know this person. And it's not that we want to live with that in a goal and say, yeah, you know, I want to live so that everybody knows me as a hero of the faith. No. We just want to live to be faithful. And if we are used by God to encourage others and build them up in the faith, then give God the glory for that and make much of God in that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the examples of Scripture, men in Scripture, people in Scripture that we have that were faithful. And I can only imagine the trials that Tychicus went through in his ministry and his service to and with the Apostle Paul. The imprisonment, the shipwrecks, the sleepless nights, the cold nights. But yet faithful. Faithful, loyal. As a friend and as a brother in Christ, as a fellow minister, fellow servant in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let those qualities that we looked at this morning in Tychicus and Onesimus, let them be what characterizes us in our ministry and our service here at the church and in the gospel.